Hi, and welcome to this week's BA Brew. I'm Kerry.
Jonathan.
And I'm Mike.
And today we are going to be talking about customer experience. So let's kick off with what is customer experience? So as you're taking a drink, Jonathan, shall we start with you, Mike?
We can do, yes. I was just thinking I was going to take a drink myself, but obviously I don't want to ruin our customer's experience by us all having a drink. It would seem like it's all just about the brew rather than about the BA bit, but maybe we should put some of the BA bit into this. What was the question again, Kerry?
What is customer experience?
Customer experience. Okay. Well, customer experience is a wide term that covers all of the activities that a customer experiences during their journey from an initiation event right way through to the end of their the end of that sort of activity for them. So, and it's quite well, it kind of links to our good friend Poppet, which do I get extra points for mentioning Poppet so early on at this point, Jonathan?
No, but you do get extra points for making me laugh, though, Mike, in your
What have I missed, Jonathan, there? I think I got thrown by the fact that I was thinking I was going to have a drink, but then I was denied my drink.
Who'd have thought that me drinking from my BA brew mug would throw you so much, Mike? But it's our first recording of 2025, isn't it? So, right, I'm going to give a textbook-style definition. So I'm just going to refer to it. But Lemon and Verhoff, I think I may have mispronounced their names, describe it as being a multidimensional construct focusing on a customer's cognitive, emotional, behavioral, sensorial, and social responses to a firm's offering during the entire customer journey. So there's quite a lot in there, but it's the end-to-end journey that a customer experiences, and it's basically what are they thinking relative to each of the touch points. What's their emotional response, joy, anger, frustration, for example, their behaviors. So how do they behave relative to the firm's offering and the touch points? What are their senses? This could be sight, sound, smell, touch. Then it could be something like being cold in a hotel room or too hot in a restaurant, for example. There would be sensorial responses and then social responses. So us telling others about our experiences, the touch points. Maybe I'm guilty of this, having a moan about a particular customer experience. That would be a social response. And then in the age of social media, a social response might be posting on a social media platform about either your fantastic or your dreadful customer experience. So it's all around us. CX is all around us all of the time relative to any engagement with an organization. The other thing that I think is important to think about relative to this thing of CX is you can have a customer experience as an internal employee relative to the internal touch points. So you can use this kind of paradigm to think about how do you engage with your internal services as an employee inside an organization, as well as thinking about external customer experiences. There's my textbook definition. And I'm now going to take a well-deserved drink from my brew mug.
I was going to extend on that, really, because I think the sensorial bit is really quite interesting. Because you mentioned things like the sights, the sounds, the smells, what you hear as well. And finding relating to that is quite difficult. If you think about a restaurant, if you can smell burning in a restaurant, that's probably going to put you affect your enjoyment of the food in the restaurant. Or if you hear the chef shouting in the restaurant. If I go to a restaurant, I found a lot of places now have very little soft furnishings, and that, with a hearing impairment, that means that I can't really have a proper conversation with anybody, because if there are other people in the restaurant or noises from the kitchen, I can't hear what's going on. I can't communicate and join in. So I end up avoiding that, and probably I probably should have given some feedback to the restaurant around that, but that affects my enjoyment in there, and therefore I'm probably not going to go back.
Yeah, it could be something like the print in the menu. Is it readable? And I know we're thinking here about accessibility needs, and I have hearing impairment as well, so I completely understand that restaurant being too noisy for you to have a conversation. But I've been in restaurants where the print that's used in the menu is too small for you to read, or that the language that's used in the menu isn't accessible to me. It's I don't understand the menu items because I'm not trained in culinary arts, and so I don't understand the terms that are used in there. But it's interesting because the customer experience, you could, in some restaurants, you can have a word with or ask a waiter, waitress for their input and advice. And in some restaurants, you get really good advice and responses to the things that you raise. They might turn down the music, for example, in a noisy restaurant, might explain the menu to you proactively or help you to find a really decent food item. And it can make or break that customer experience, the wraparound behind the menu, the seats, the tables. But it's, I guess what I'm thinking, Mike, is it's about attention to detail at all touch points and making sure they all fit together, which I do think links to that Pop-It framework, because we're thinking about all of the elements. So maybe I should have said, yes, Mike, you should get brownie points.
I'm going to claim you now anyway.
Yeah. Kerry, does that make sense? How would you define it?
Yeah, no, that's a really good way of defining it. And I think the restaurant analogy is a really good one. I think it's the experience is right from when you decide to go to that particular restaurant, right through to walking through the door, experiencing what you do actually in the restaurant environment. But then, Mike, you also touched on feedback. Feedback, if you have a good or bad experience, is actually really important to say out loud to the company that where you are as well. And you know, it is up to them whether they take the feedback on board or not, but I think that is all part of the end-to-end journey that you have of going to a restaurant. And I think that's what the customer experience is. It's not just thinking about the service or product that you're thinking about, it's thinking like the wider view of it, like you've already both touched on, the holistic view of a service. So I think you've given a really good explanation of that. So if we move on to why is considering the customer experience important? Jonathan, do you want to take that one first?
Yeah, I'll take that one first. So I do think it's really important, obviously. And one of the reasons I think it's important is because the services that we engage with in our lives, they're important to us. So if you're engaging with the tax office or a health service, or you're engaging with a solicitor or a company that's supplying you with insurance or a bank account, those things are important to us. So we're expecting that what they deliver in terms of their value proposition meets our expectations that may be stated or implied. But this is important for us and possibly our stress levels as consumers or users of services. And when you're let down, the company or the organization doesn't meet your expectation, it's really frustrating. And it can take up a lot of your time to try and get an issue sorted with a company if they've not done the thing that they've promised. The other reason why I'd say it's important is because it's of huge importance for the growth of the economy. So this is kind of like a macro political view of CX. If our products and services do not meet customer expectations, I think there's a negative impact on the economic well-being of our country. So I'm sort of taking this from an individual person. They may be delighted or extremely frustrated with a firm's offerings, a customer experience. But you think about that on a much larger scale. This is important because it impacts the economy. If we took an organizational view of this question, if an organization doesn't offer positive customer experiences, I'd say that limits the extent to which that organization can benefit from recommendations, referrals, retention of customers. There's an impact on the long-term financial health of an organization. So I've kind of didn't do that in a very structured way, but it impacts people, it impacts organizations, and it impacts the economy at large. It's of huge importance, is my view. I'm really biased on this, and I'll try to get down off my soapbox now before Mike takes the mick out of me for ranting about CX or something.
Would I do that, Jonathan?
No, you wouldn't.
Leaving that for later. There's a few things for me, really. At a number of different levels, our customers have choice. There's an awful lot of choice around there. If we don't actually meet their needs. If there is some part of the experience that doesn't work for them, they might give us some feedback. They might not give us feedback. If we get the feedback, that's a real gift because we can do something about it. Ideally, perhaps we should be anticipating some of this beforehand and thinking about it rather than trying to fix a problem, because fixing a problem is a lot more expensive than actually preventing it in the first place. But if we get to a point where we don't even get the feedback, the customer may choose to go to a competitor, or they may disengage from using that kind of product or service. And that definitely has an impact on the wider economy. If people decide they're not going out to restaurants anymore because, I don't know, the chefs are arguing or they're burning the food or whatever their last experience was. And I'm not saying I had that experience myself. Actually, the last time I went to a restaurant, I had the best steak I've ever had in my life. And I will definitely be going back there. And everybody I meet, I tell how good the steak was. So, yeah, if you want some recommendations about where to get the best steak, certainly in the last 60 years, that's the best one I've had. I'm not sure whether I'm going to be around for another 60 years to better it. But I've lost my track again now, haven't I? Yes. So I think there is a problem, and I've certainly experienced lots of opportunities where my customer experience has not been quite what I'd expect it to be. So I think probably a lot of companies have taken their eye off the ball, and they're looking at how to make cost savings, which often impact on the customer without thinking about how that customer experience is affected. So I think it's a really important thing for companies to get right. And yeah, I agree with you, Johnson, about the wider economic picture there as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's good. It's good. And then if we just take it on a little bit further, then let's consider the difference between what customer experience is and what user experience is, because they're very different terms. So some of our listeners may not have don't know what the difference is. So could you kind of help us explain the differences? Mike, do you want to go first on this one?
Yeah, I can do. And hopefully I'll maintain my train of thought until the end of my speech bit before I hand over to Jonathan, who can then take the mickey out of me at this point. And fortunately, I've remembered the question this time. So I think the user experience is a subset of the customer experience, really. So it's about where you're engaging with a product or service, and it's often the technology elements of it. So using a website to order your pair of trainers or whatever, or using an app on your phone. So it's the user experience of that particular interface to some kind of technology or system. Jonathan, I'll hand over to you at this point.
Yeah. So user, typically technology touchpoint focused, as Mike said, whereas the customer experience is holistic end-to-end. And they're complementary disciplines and complementary schools of thought. We want the individual technology touch points to work in alignment with expectations. And then we want the holistic end-to-end customer experience to work in alignment with expectations as well. We could use Pop-It to help us to think about the difference. So going to give Mike his brownie point again for mentioning that earlier. But one way to think about the difference is the IT elements, information and technology elements of Pop-It typically connect into this world of user experience, whereas the people, the organization, and the process elements that are there within the business system or the organization's systems, they represent the broader customer experience. I don't really like the word user as well. I'm just going to throw that out there. I much prefer the language of customer over user. And I think there's been a trend recently towards a desire to have technology-focused solutions to all problems within organizations. There's some people have this worldview that we need an app for everything, or we'll use technology to solve problems. And this language of user experience, I think, is indirectly influencing thinking relative to we can use IT to solve the problem. And I share this view because I get really wound up about chatbots that have been applied within organizations without thinking about the holistic end-to-end impact. And I'll share an example of dealing with an insurance company in the last 6 months and trying to raise a query via the chatbot. And it directed me to raise the query via the chatbot. And I was trying to speak to someone to get something solved, and there was no way of getting away from the chatbot, but the chatbot was saying, ask the chatbot. So I was in a endless loop of not being able to get an answer to my query. And as a customer experience, I thought that was dreadful. It was extremely frustrating because I couldn't get the problem solved that I had and I couldn't speak to anyone about it. That's not the fault of someone that has applied user experience focus, but I do think we need to think about both user and customer experience end to end. It's not sufficient just to think about one touch point. And that's just an example of where it can go wrong. Obviously, there's lots of work done under user experience that is very, very beneficial for outcomes, and touch points can be brilliant in the end-to-end experience, but we've got to think about users and customer experience.
Yeah, I just have to say I'm with you there, Jonathan, on that. I do prefer using the term customer as opposed to user, because I think user, you know, narrows the mind, but I think customer, you tend to think of yourself as a customer in the whole journey rather than just in a particular part of that product or service. Sorry, Mike.
I think there is a risk of silos around this, because if we think about the user experience, what we're probably talking about is a user interface, which is part of customer experience. And I think if we started to use those terms a bit more, talk about what's going into the user experience part, sorry, what's going into the user interface part of the customer experience, that might help us break down some of that. And there is a risk of actually having user experience professionals and customer experience professionals working completely different silos. And the worst case scenario is that they're working to different agendas, and the user experience isn't actually supporting the customer experience.
Good. Okay. And then if we just finish on one last question. So if you could recommend a technique that somebody could use to kickstart their journey into customer experience, what would that technique be? Jonathan, do you want to take that one first?
There's loads, Kerry. There's a really hard one. Empathy maps are brilliant, are built upon a persona. So what is a imagined representation of a user role? Thinking, feeling, saying, doing. What are their pains and gains? That's a fantastic technique. Customer journey mapping, mapping the touch points for the end-to-end customer journey and what the activities are of the customer, their emotional response to the touch point. It's a great visual to get people to talk about customer experience. But the one that I really want to tell you about is called the zone of tolerance. And it's my favorite technique in this space. And what it does is it asks you to think about what would an adequate customer experience be relative to any service product experience, and what's adequate look like, what's below adequate, so what would really poor customer experience look like, and then what would be an excellent customer experience? So what would be above your zone of tolerance? What would delight you? And what it does is it introduces a language of what's a standard. It hints towards what's an adequate standard. How can we ensure that we consistently meet expectations around our product or service offering? And it's asking, well, what might delight customers? And I really like to use it to empathize and to think about what are the customer experiences, but also to test boundaries, ideate on what might be possible if we wanted to improve customer experience. But it's not one of the more popular models, techniques. Personas, customer journey maps, empathy maps are used more widely, I'd say. But I really love this zone of tolerance technique. It's like my favorite technique in this space, or one of them anyway, which wasn't one. Sorry, Kerry, I talked way too much.
That's all right. That's all right. You've left Mike with about a minute to just explain.
And Jonathan has gone through all of the techniques that I was going to talk about. I have pulled out from underneath me. But there is one thing that I was thinking, which is really about actually getting close to the customer, working with the customer, and the idea of value co-creation. So let's not do this. Let's not build these solutions and build the customer experience without involving the customer. Let's get the customer involved. Let's co-create some value with those customers. I think that's what I would say, which probably works by using all of those techniques, and also is less than a minute in terms of an answer.
Yeah, brilliant. No, thanks, Mike. I've used all them. Sorry, Jonathan. I've used all them techniques with a variety of different customers, and they love them mainly because they're visual and they feel like they're really contributing to make improvement to the service or product that I was offering at the time.
I think we might need to send Mike a Kit Kat for that answer. For the customer research co-creation, it was a much better answer than mine, I'd say. And I 100% agree with everything you said there, Mike, because we've got to do this with, you know, actual customers or with researching very thoroughly what it is that customers are feeling, experiencing. And if we do it without the customer or understanding the voice of the customer, we'll be designing products and services that don't necessarily work for them. But there's loads of techniques which we haven't got time to go through, unfortunately.
No, not today. I would just like to say thank you to Jonathan and Mike for joining me today. And thank you for watching and listening. And if you have any other ideas for any BA brews, please contact us at babrew@assistkd.com. And don't forget to like, share and subscribe to us.